Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever. Right, so this episode, we're looking at The Last Word from 2008, another movie that I'd never heard of before, and I really, really had a hard time remembering the name of this. I had to look it up every time I had to remember.
It's not a memorable name.
No.
And there's another movie called The Last Word that came out in
2017,
which I found in my search to find this movie.
Yes, that was the other thing. I think I had to type in 2008 all the time to try.
I was like, Shirley MacLaine is in this?
Interesting.
Right?
I never really looked at what the 2017 one was about.
No, I don't know.
You just know Shirley MacLaine was in it.
Because it just showed me like the cover of it, and it had Shirley MacLaine's name. I was like, where's Winona's name?
Well, once I read the description of this movie, it made it a little easier to remember the title. So basically, this is a movie where Winona is kind of the secondary character, and the main character is Wes Bentley, who's like the plastic bag filmographer in American Beauty.
Yeah, I feel like it's a continuation of that role.
I mean, I think that's his thing, right?
Yeah. Like the
same
character.
He's a dark, brooding guy.
Yeah.
At least during, I don't know, his 20s, 30s. I don't know. I don't know how old he is now.
But. I read up about him.
Oh.
It was in the trivia on IMDb for this movie, but this guy, Wes Bentley, was like addicted to heroin and cocaine for 10 years.
At what point? Like during this career time?
During this time. Okay. And he only took films to pay for his habit.
Oh, boy.
And this was one of them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This was one of the ones that his habit up.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that also explains his kind of lethargicness
in the
style
whole film.
Of acting.
Yeah. Because he does seem sedated most of the time.
He's born in 78, so he's 40.
Okay. Chris's age.
There you go.
Chris, I just.
Outing Chris. No, we've discussed our ages before. It's all right. That's interesting. Not a fact I knew.
No, yeah. I read that today, I think.
Oh, dark.
Yeah.
Some dark
start to
this episode.
Twist.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I guess, a dark theme to this story.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is this, that Wes, whose name in the movie is Evan, he is a writer who sort of fell into or weirdly ended up becoming a suicide note writer. Mm-hmm. So he writes notes for other people who want to die.
Yes.
And so, yeah, he just meets with them at cafes and has a whole process where he asks them stuff about themselves and gets them to keep a journal so that it can be like in their voice or something.
Yeah. And then he has all these like literary quotes and stuff like that in it. And that's all he does during the movie is quote. Famous authors. Yeah.
Exactly. And then he meets Winona because her brother died by suicide and his suicide note was written by Evan. And Evan, I guess, also goes to the funerals and takes notes at them. I'm not entirely sure why.
Yeah, like he's critiquing his own note, it looked like.
Oh, yes.
I remember
to see the reaction to it.
He wrote down like too pretentious or something in one of his notes.
I don't know. Would people read that at the funeral every time? Like, it seemed like that was his thing. Like, I mean, I know they always read it, so I'm going to go and take notes. It's like, that's a weird thing too. Yep. But anyway, so he meets her at the funeral and then she takes a interest in him and starts contacting him and they start a relationship. And that is basically
the plot of this.
Yeah.
Because he says that, you know, he knew her brother from school.
Yeah.
And you know that he'd heard of her through him, and her name was Charlotte, and his mother's name was Charlotte.
Right.
Her name is Charlotte, and also in Mermaids.
Yes, I knew her name was Charlotte and something else, but I forgot to look up what it was. So
it occurred to me after, I'm like, excellent. Charlotte Flax.
Yeah.
No, this is not the same Charlotte.
Do they indicate what her last name is at any point?
No, I don't
think so. Or is she just straight up Charlotte?
Charlotte.
Yep, just Charlotte. Everybody's just a first name.
Yeah.
In this. Yeah, her brother's name is Matthew. You don't ever really meet him. He's already dead, I think, at the beginning of this movie. Mm-hmm. And but you see pictures of him. So there's a whole thing with a picture that Evan has of Charlotte and her brother together, and he's like carrying it around. I think it's part of his file. Like he has files on everybody, but once he starts dating her and getting into her, falling in love with her, whatever's happening exactly.
He keeps taking the picture out.
Yeah, carrying it around, which is stupid. Yeah. Don't do that.
Risky business there.
Yeah, totally. And to me, this movie was just a big stressful lie to watch for like an hour and a half. Like, it was just clearly not going to go well. It cannot say, I don't know, make up a bunch of things about
what you do.
And then have a successful relationship.
Like, and just keeps lying and lying, and he gets caught in his lie. And then
makes a new lie.
Like he gets caught like at a family dinner.
Yeah.
Because one of the relatives, you know, boyfriends went to Cornell and was like, oh, what residence did you stay in? And he starts listing all the residents and he didn't list like actual residents. And the guy's this one.
Up. Yeah. Yeah.
He gets caught.
He gets caught in his lie.
And then he lies some more.
And he says he met him on a bus.
Yeah.
And they exchanged, I don't know, he gave him bus fare for the picture of like Winona and the brother. And she's all like, why would you want this random picture of people you don't know? I don't know. And it's like, yeah, you're right. He wouldn't because that's a big lie.
Yeah.
Another lie. And then there's a whole side story with Ray Romano. I mean,
that was fine. I think you're right. Everything Ray Romano did was hilarious. Like, he was
really funny. You're totally right. I didn't.
That was like the saving grace of this. His jokes were really funny.
Did you write down some?
When Evan is talking about how he says something about how he met a guy in a train the first time he got the job. And the guy was telling
how he started his letters.
Right? And then his letter got printed in the Atlantic Monthly or something.
Right.
And then the first thing that Ray Romano says is, I've never taken a train.
Yeah.
I was just like, he's never even had that opportunity. But anyway, everything he did was really funny.
Yeah. And he was just good. Like, he just seemed like a real character in the movie.
Yeah. Like a real movie character. Like, it was just like
he was more interesting.
His job was like
else.
He had to write the on hold music.
Which once he said that, like he said to this Wes Bentley guy, to Evan, he said to him, hey, come meet me at my work. And he's like, oh, I don't really like going to like private places or whatever with people. But then he goes and it's his studio, which I'm like, oh, what does he do? He's a composer and he's like conducting an orchestra or whatever, which he said something to a violinist or something that was kind of funny too.
But I don't remember what it was. So out of the trumpet, like you're not playing. I don't know.
Oh yeah, it was the trumpet because I think the violinist thing he actually said was kind of racist, and I didn't write it down.
You're not playing a trumpet; you're playing something else. I don't know. It was really good.
Yeah,
Most of his stuff was funny, but I guess like he was just unhappy with it. Like, I don't think he was had any like fatal illness. He was just gonna kill himself.
No, because so that was one thing that Evan said, that Winona's brother, now mind you, he's making up all these lies to her, so is this true or not, we don't know, but he said that he had pancreatic cancer or something, and he wanted to die because he didn't want to burden his family and was kind of distant from his family anyway.
Yeah, and he didn't have any friends, so he got this guy to write this letter.
And then the one thing I was going to say about Abel, which is Ray Romano's character, is that when Evan went to meet him at the studio, you could hear the music playing. And then afterwards, when he said, like, I write on hold music, I was like, yeah, that's absolutely what that music was that was playing. It's like, sounds exactly like that type of music.
Oh, that's really good.
So yeah, that was kind of an interesting part, I guess, having creating a character that has that kind of job.
And his character is really funny and like quirky. He's just like, yo, you want to go fly a helicopter? And suddenly they're just like flying like a toy helicopter. You think they're going to be in a helicopter? Right. And then Ray Romano says like what he wants to do if he's not a composer or whatever. Right. And he wants to like buy a cliff and charge people so they can drop their shit off of it, like,
yeah, stuff
and then blow it
at.
Up, yeah. Like fax machines or printers or right. You know, cars or whatever you want.
Exactly. And he was like, I don't know, he didn't seem super impressed with that idea. So what was I gonna say? Ray Romano. Oh yeah, Ray Romano also had, yeah, he was like the most quirky character because he was like, let's go have fun, and they go to a zoo, and then Ray Romano starts sneaking up on babies.
Oh, yeah.
And scaring them till they cried. And then Evan's
he
like,
says,
what is
stress
wrong
reliever.
With you? And he's like, it
dude,
doesn't hurt them, they don't remember.
You.
Yeah.
Get, he's like, that's what he wants to do, like the whole day, spend the day, like, I guess
scaring babies. Making horrible faces at the babies until they cry. Yep.
Weird. So that part was funny.
Yeah,
that character.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like, I think that character was supposed to get this main like Evan character out of his like shell.
Yeah, because you know, he seemed like he had a pretty solitary life. Yeah. Like, he did everything by himself and just had the meetings with people.
Yeah, and these two seemed to, like, Abel and this Evan guy seemed to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was this Winona side story, which she was more the side story in a way.
Yeah.
You know, because she wasn't, her character wasn't very interesting or had much depth or personality. She was just some girl who was, like, strangely after this creepy
guy,
loner guy. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, why? Why, like, was she intrigued by him?
She kept calling him and, like,
I think she was intrigued because it was somebody who knew her brother.
Yeah.
So, and, like, that was his big mistake. I mean, I guess in the end he ended up liking her, so maybe it wasn't a mistake that he, like, pretended like he knew him or whatever, but, I mean, it was obviously a mistake because it led to a lot of lies. Circle of lies. Yeah, Winona's character wasn't particularly interesting. I was trying to think about why she would choose it, because I think that's the only thing that we can think about right now.
I was
this,
also
like,
wondering why she would choose it. I don't know.
I think that, like, at some point, I don't know if somebody used this word. I think somebody did. They described her character as free-spirited. I don't know if it was in the movie or if I read somewhere that her character was described as free-spirited, but, like, I just wonder if that was, like, the kind of thing that drew her to roles around
maybe
this time. Like, I feel like potentially, and this was many years before this, but, like, when she did Autumn in New York, I feel like that was a free-spirited character. Like, maybe she's just trying to be these women that she thinks are interesting characters, but, like you said before, like, in our last episode, I think, like, there's not a lot of good choices out there. Maybe
it's
at
true.
This time.
Maybe she was just like, you know, I gotta pay some bills, and this is all I got, so fine. Just do it, you know?
Yeah.
But she had some lines that are, like, Winona-esque. Like, I think she says, she's talking to this guy, and she's like, who's really from anywhere these days? And I think in Welcome Home, Roxy Carmichael, she says, who knows anyone these days, or who wants to, or something like that. It was one of those, like, lines, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, this is like I think she says this because of the Catch of the Rye, but, you know, they're at the park, and she's like, oh, there's an old carousel. I love old carousels. And I was like, that's a Holden Caulfield thing. Straight up. Guaranteed.
Interesting.
Who says I love old carousels?
Amazing.
I noticed that there was, I guess because it was 2008, this movie came out. There were no cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was, like, Ray Romano and the guy were sitting together, and Evan was like, okay, I have this author. He's really famous. And the guy's like, I don't want to use this obscure author. I don't want people to think I'm a pretentious, you know, in my note. And the guy's like, he's not obscure. He's really, you know, I'll send you his bibliography. And then, you know, Ray was like, oh, when can you do that? He's like, tomorrow. I'm like, couldn't you just do it right now on your phone? Like,
no.
Just forward that over or just send him a link or something. But yeah, that was,
Well, he also seemed like someone, I mean, first of all, he had a home phone.
Yes, he did.
A landline. And he thought it was unlisted, but then he started getting calls from both of them. So clearly, yes, it was like, either he was at one time unlisted, but I think more so it was like, he just had no friends before. So nobody was ever looking for him. Nobody was ever calling him. And that's what these two actually calling him all the time showed, that like his life was changing.
Yeah. He had to get an answering machine.
Yeah. That was his big technology, I guess. I mean, he had a computer and everything, but he didn't have a car. So he was living in L.A. without a car, which Winona was like, what the heck? Oh, also Winona driving people around again because she was driving him around.
It's true.
She always gets to be the driver.
It's true. And she also was drunk driving in this, which was not cool.
Oh, when was she doing that? Did she
Remember they went to the club and she was totally drunk? She had, I don't know how many Jamesons or whatever.
That's true.
And then at the end, she's driving.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I mean, she seems sober at the end, but like,
how did she? Yeah.
Where did
exactly?
I don't know.
When they went to that club, she said to him, do you want to go to a club? And he said, no, I'm not particularly funky.
Oh.
That was his line. And really? What? Funky?
That's not a thing.
You have to be funky to go to a club? I don't quite. And then she was like, I don't know. She said something like, oh, I thought you were funky or something. And I just kept saying funky. Oh, boy.
And then there was one scene where like, he's talking about how he grew up in an abusive family. Him and his mom were on the run for all this time when he was five, blah, blah, blah. And Winona says, I drank a bottle of Pepto when I was a kid and because it tasted like strawberry milkshake, or I thought it would taste like strawberry milkshake. I'm like, what is that writing? What is that? Like, why would she say that? Like,
yeah, that's weird.
I was like, oh, dear. It was so awkward and weird.
Yeah, like, that's not comfortable. I don't know. I kind of zoned out at that part because there was a part later where they were watching, Winona and somebody else were watching a movie, and it was like it was the movie of his life or something. Do you remember this?
No.
See? This movie was slightly boring, so I definitely was like doing other things while watching it. And yeah, they had that conversation about his childhood, and I feel like there must have been something in there where he said that, like, it was somehow written about or, like,
something.
Oh, that's
right. He did say that. He said they made, a Lifetime
movie about his life.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Well, so Winona, like, he came home. Did he come home? He came to Winona's. I don't know.
There was a lot of back and forth.
He came somewhere.
With them.
Yeah. And she was with somebody else. Who would she have been with? Who else was in this movie? Oh, the girl, the 10-year-old or 13 or whatever.
Yeah.
The girl that was like her goddaughter or like her mom's goddaughter.
From Guatemala,
or something.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Her parents were in Guatemala.
Parents were in
because
Guatemala.
God told them to.
Yes.
Right. So those two were watching.
Oh, right.
And then she found it like at a video. So it was like a VHS, I think. And he was like saying, oh. And that was after she'd seen him at like one of the restaurants talking to one of his clients.
Oh,
and so then
right.
She thought, well, again, he was lying because he said he was at a conference that day. Because, of course, when this is your job, unless you're going to tell her that you have a job where you would do all the things of your job, but not know what the job is, then you're just lying even more.
Yeah,
so
he's
like, I'm at a conference all day.
He's
yeah.
Like, all that stuff. He lied so much. He said he was writing some screenplay, and then she was like, wanted him to meet the screenwriter she knew, and he ended up knowing the guy because the guy wanted him to write him a note.
Yeah.
One of his clients.
Yeah. And then that guy bribed him. He said, like, basically, I won't tell her if you give me $1,000.
Yep.
It was a whole, yeah.
It
just,
thing.
He kept digging that hole. Okay, so one quirky thing about these two about Wes, is that he has like a lounge on the roof of his building that he lives in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like I don't know, does he have like a recliner chair, some kind of chair, and yeah, like a table lamp. With a lamp? And there was one point when he's up there reading. This is such a nitpicky thing, but he's like, it was at the beginning of the movie. He was up there reading and he had the lamp on, but like he was reading like over here. The lamp was like, it wasn't lighting his book in any way. And I was like, what?
He's not really reading.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't read that book up there. Anyways, but yeah, it was just a silly thing. Like he's got this roof. Thing.
Well, oh yeah, that could be annoying. I didn't notice.
Yeah, it's one of the only notes I made. except for the funky thing. Also, when they go to the club and she starts dancing, immediately she's like mobbed by guys. Guys just all turn around and start like dancing up on her, and I'm like, ew, this is an uncomfortable scene. Yeah. And he's just kind of like getting pushed away and is kind of like, what am I doing here? And she's just like whatever. Drunk and into it. It's just like, what is even happening?
Yeah, that wasn't nice.
No. There was a lot of things that were either just unpleasant or boring. Yes, but you're right. Ray Romano was surprisingly the interesting part of the movie.
Yeah. I liked Ray Romano in Parenthood. It was the TV show.
Oh, okay. I feel like I've seen another movie.
I never really watched Everybody Loves Raymond.
Me neither. Or,
yes, that's what it's called.
I think I saw the odd episode and was not into it. Oh, he was in the Big Sick.
But in Parenthood, he was really, really great. He played Lorelai from Gilmore Girls' love interest.
Oh, I thought her real... like life boyfriend was her love interest in that. No, do you know her?
No, that's her.
Oh,
that's
her brother. That's right.
Her Ew. Brother in the show. Is her. I know.
That's so yuck.
It's weird.
Anyways. Well then,
and her brother was Nate in 6 Feet Under.
Her the like the guy on the show.
Yeah, oh, the Braverman.
Yeah. I've been watching 6 Feet Under recently. Wow.
Oh.
Wow, that's right.
That's a good series to rewatch.
I have never seen it. So really? I'm like watching it for the first time, Ooh. But very slowly. I'm still like maybe in the first season and I have been for a couple years. But I gotta keep going.
Yes. It's good.
I'm sure.
The hardest thing for me was watching like a death each episode.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because I knew it was going to happen, and I was just like... Mm.
In that first scene, you know, like because scene. It's a bunch of people you've never seen before. Yeah. So you're like, these are the people, one of them's going to die.
Yeah, and I just hate watching the... Like, it's just awful.
Yeah, so
just,
sometimes it's terrible.
Yeah. There's a couple of them that I'll never forget.
Oh, yeah. There was the one that I have seen. Hey, sorry. We're just going to spoil a little bit of 6 Feet Under right now. So step away for a moment. So maybe I'm in the second season. I'm not sure where I am, but I don't remember characters' names, but the girl, like the daughter, the sister of the family, the guy that she's kind of friends with from school or who like he had a toe fetish, that like weird guy, the bro guy. Yeah. When his brother has a like plays with a gun that he found under his mom's bed and actually kills himself. That was sad. His little brother. Yeah, when he was supposed to be watching him or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
That was a sad
one. That's terrible.
So, first or second season, don't remember exactly when that happened. But
that daughter, she's the best. I don't remember her character's name. Anyway.
Yeah, me neither. I don't remember anybody's names. But you're right. Nate, I think, is his
name on
the show.
Nate's the guy. Yeah.
Great, cool.
Anyway, back to this movie.
That's more interesting than this movie, so we're going to go off script.
The end of this movie is fine.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's silly. I'm glad
like, Winona and him didn't end up together. And like,
yeah.
That's, spoiler alert,
She's like, what the hell? She's You're like, crazy. Yeah. You have a horrible job. She eventually kind of forgives him for being a horrible. She says, you're a horrible boyfriend and you have the worst job, like creepiest job ever or whatever. But, you know, like maybe in a year, contact me and I might not want to talk to you. Like that's basically what she says. So that was all right. That was good.
So he leaves state and he is at a cliff working with Ray Romano. They bought a cliff together.
Also, At that point, you don't know if Ray Romano is alive or not, because he followed Ray Romano to his, like, suicide plan. So you think plan.
He's... Yeah. I thought he was dead. And I thought he was just going to carry on the Cliff legend without him, but he was there.
He was there blowing the stuff up, I think. Or I don't remember what he was controlling. Oh, he was controlling the video camera that filmed it for the person. Yes.
But they had walkie-talkies. It looked like a real operation.
Yep. It was. Yeah, it seemed professional.
So they were the real romance, you know?
Yeah, that's true. They stuck it out and obviously moved to a whole other state together, which is interesting.
Started up a business together.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, he's got a new job now that isn't as creepy as his old job. Though, I don't know, like, is there... When he was talking to Winona, because, you know, of course, her response was, like, you should be stopping people from doing this. And he's like, is that really my job? Is that really my role to do that? Like, who am I to do that type thing? And I'm like, maybe that's true. I don't know. Like, especially in the case of her brother. But, yeah. Yeah. Your face is saying it all. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, it was just like, you know, oh, you're going to kill yourself? Cool. I'll help you do that. Like, I'm going to help you write that note.
Yeah. And, like,
that's the approach.
Like, yeah. Well, yeah. He very much took a hands-off approach. Yeah. Like, you've made your decision. It's not my place to tell you what to do. I'll just help you get there. Yeah. Who knows? I mean,
Well, what's next?
Oh, great question. Good question. The next movie is The Informers, which, again, movie I've never heard of. The cover of it just takes me back to Simone.
Informers?
Well, because it looks like a robot lady. Do you know anything about Informers? The Informers. Are you familiar with it?
I only know about Snow.
Great. She's not even in the top build cast, so that's cool.
Oh no.
I wonder if this is in order of, like, when you see them, because
it's Billy a Brett Bob Easton Thornton. Ellis.
Oh shoot.
Oh dear.
Well, that'll be an interesting conversation.
Good old douchebag Brett Easton Ellis.
I haven't read this. I've actually read quite a lot of Bret Easton Ellis. I think he's a douchebag also, but I have enjoyed his books. But is this based
this
on
was the last feature film for actor Brad Renfro.
Whoa. There's some significance to this next one.
It's based on The Informers, yes, by Bret Easton.
So he wrote, like, it's a book that he wrote that then he wrote the screenplay also for. It's not like he just wrote the screenplay.
No.
Cool.
He wrote a book, he wrote a screenplay with somebody else. So he probably just kind of
gave notes on whether it was accurate to his book. Well, interesting.
Yes.
Well, Mickey Rourke is in this, Kim Basinger, Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob.
Whoa. Amber Heard.
Chris Isaac.
Reese Ifans, or however you say his last name. I like him. Was he in another Winona? I feel like we've seen him already. We'll talk about that next time. We'll figure that all out by next 2 weeks from now. Cool. Well, that, I don't know. Every time we read up on a movie that we've never watched, I'm like, hey, that one seems promising. And then when we watch it, we come back and we're like, whoops. Nope. So we'll see if this one's promising. Or
yeah, not. I guess what the last word, I was like, what is it called again?
Yes, it's impossible to remember.
It was released at Sundance in 2008, and then it went straight to DVD
in 2009.
And I saw it, I never actually watched it until yesterday, but I saw it on Netflix.
At one time.
And they took it off. And that is the last word.
Indeed. Cool. All right, come back for The Informers.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.